What I thought I planned to cover for this week is Luke chapter 18, verses 31 to 43. Now there's two separate passages in these verses. The first being four verses that Jesus tells for the first time, for the fourth time, as recorded by Luke, that he's going to be crucified. And then the second, from 35 to the end of the chapter, is Jesus heals a blind man in Jericho, whose name is Bartimaeus. We get that from Matthew and Mark. Luke does not tell us that. And then also, this Luke records that Jesus tells four times that Jesus tells the apostles about his crucifixion and his sacrifice. He tells it in Luke 9:22, Luke 9:45, Luke 13:33, and then Luke 18:31-33. And now Matthew and Mark only tell three times that Jesus recorded that told the apostles about his crucifixion, which Kaufman said, so one of these four times is unique only to Luke. One of these tellings. Okay. Luke chapter 18. Yes, Luke chapter 18. Yes, yes. No, Luke chapter 18. Now, what I thought we would do is first cover the second part. So verse 35 through the end of the chapter, and then after we sing, we'll cover 31 to 34. So I thought we'll go in reverse biblical order. So we'll start here with Luke 18, 35. Then it happened as Jesus was coming near Jericho. Now, let's just refresh our memories here. Jesus was on the border here of Samaria and Galilee. And this is where he ran in. And I'm assuming that this is very isolated and way out in the middle of nowhere, because that's where they had these 10 lepers be, and you know that the lepers would be way away from society. So I'm assuming, and I don't think it's that big of an assumption, that this is way out in the middle of nowhere, way out in the country. And what Kaufman said is he traveled through Samaria, and he was getting with this convoy of all of these Israelites coming from Galilee and going to Jerusalem for the Passover. Okay, so now he's obviously traveling down. And during this travel is when people are wanting to bring their children to Jesus so Jesus could lay his hands on them. And the apostles didn't like that, but Jesus said, allow the little children to come to me. So that was all during this trek down here toward Jerusalem. Okay, now, and then we've already mentioned this, but the Israelites would not walk through the Samaritan territory. Jesus did, but they wouldn't have made this trek through there. So they crossed the Jordan River before they got into Samaria. Then they went south on the east side of the Jordan in this Perean region. And then they came, went all the way down, and then they crossed the river and then go due west, I'm assuming, to Jericho. And that's where we pick up with this here. There's this blind man that Matthew and Mark tell us his name was Bartimaeus, and he's right here at Jericho on the road traveling through Jericho, and he's a poor beggar. He's a beggar, and so that's when this episode happens. Okay, But Jesus was coming near Jericho that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. Now, Kaufman wrote two paragraphs about Jericho. So Jericho was an ancient city, or is an ancient city. It's still there today. And it's some 17 miles east, northeast of Jerusalem on the plain of the Jordan River. So 17 miles from Jerusalem. So that's once they got to Jericho, they had 17 miles more to go. Now he's going to talk about, not yet. The old city is a mile northwest of modern Jericho. So the old city, I'm not sure what he's talking about here. You know, we had Joshua in the Battle of Jericho. I don't know if that's what he's talking about, is the old city, and they made the new city with the Israelites a mile from there. And I got to thinking, let's say that this old city was the original Jericho that that God demolished. They were a massively walled city, impenetrable by man, but not by God. And then God caused an earthquake, whatever happened, the stone walls, and I'm assuming maybe all of the buildings just crumbled. I just envision a great earthquake, and it shook everything, and all the stone walls and the stone buildings all just crumbled down to nothing and made just rubble. And then I can envision that they had so much stone, it was just a complete, utter disaster. They couldn't build on that for centuries and millennia or something until either people hauled off this rock and stuff, or it eventually just kind of went in the ground or something. I don't know. But so maybe that's why the Israelites had to make a new city a mile outside of Jericho. I'm just assuming that. But anyway, I wanted him to go into more explanation, but he didn't. He just says the old city is a mile northwest of modern Jericho. Either location is properly called Jericho. In the times of Jesus, Herod the Great, which was born in 40 BC. So I hadn't really thought of that, or I don't think I'd heard of this. So whenever Jesus was born, Herod was about 40 years old. So he was like in his prime during the time that he wanted to assassinate the king of the Jews. And his successors built a winter palace with ornamental gardens near the famous palm and balsam groves that yielded lucrative revenues. And also, Kaufman didn't repeat this, and I did not relook this up, but if my memory serves me, Kaufman also told that Herod and had a sister, anyway, some family members, and they were at Jericho in a big building of some sort, and they got assassinated in there. And that's how King Herod the Great died, while Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and the young child Jesus, were in Egypt. And that's when, and he got assassinated. That's how Herod the Great died. And I believe Kaufman said it was in Jericho here a while back, maybe a year ago when I was reading this. And so that's how he came to his death. In fact, Kaufman said at the time that this was God. Here he had come after God's unique son, the Messiah, and that was his punishment. King Herod and several of his family members got horribly, it was like a massacre, horribly assassinated, a massacre situation. And I believe that was at Jericho. I think it's at this same place. And now that he says this, that they had built this great tourist attraction, vacation resort with this ornamental gardens, and a great place for everyone wanted to come and see. And he said it was very lucrative, so people were paying to come here. I can assume that that would be a place that they felt safe. like a Martha's Vineyard or something for the president or something. And he got massacred in there. Okay. Then Kaufman continues, says, in 1952, this city had a population of about 41,000. If it is situated 800 feet below sea level, and the 17-mile road to Jerusalem rises to 2,500 feet above sea level. So the elevation raises two-thirds of a mile in this 17 miles. Okay. And the altitude of Jerusalem is 3,800 feet above the Dead Sea, which, of course, the Dead Sea is the lowest point on earth. It's the lowest below sea level of anywhere on earth. So in this 17 miles, they had a gradient ascension of going up two-thirds of a mile. So this is the summary statement of this that Kaufman said. Thus, the road that lay before Jesus was a steep one, literally as well as spiritually. So not only was this a tough physical climb going up to Jerusalem, this one was especially difficult because Jesus was going to his death, to where he was going to not only physically die, but he was also going to take on the sins of all of mankind. So that's why he said this was a steep ascent spiritually also. So this was a... And then before Jesus started this ascent, he tells the apostles a fourth time about his execution. Any questions or comments on this so far? Okay. So this certain blind man that Luke says unnamed, but Matthew and Mark give us, his name was Bartimaeus. In verse 36, in hearing a multitude passing by, Bartimaeus asked what it meant. What was this noise all about? What's this, all these people passing by for? And so the people told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And listen to what Bartimaeus says. He's a blind man, not anywhere close to where Jesus lived. Jesus, of course, did in the neighborhood of 3 years of his ministry. He was 3.5 years in, but in the neighborhood of 3 years, he was in Capernaum in Galilee. So way, way north. You know, he was 60 or 70, nearly 80 miles to the north of where this man was. And now, that being said, over the last 6 months or so, Jesus was at Perea, on the east side of Jericho, east side of the Jordan River. And now, I don't know. There's no record of him coming back over. I guess he could have come some, but I'm going to assume that he didn't, that he stayed in Perea, because that's all the text says, that he was beyond the Jordan during this time in the neighborhood of like 6 months, that he was doing all these teachings that was covered up until the last couple of chapters. So it was, I think, nearly 10 chapters that Luke gives that's known as the Perean ministry. Or maybe it's more like six. Maybe it's like six chapters or something, the Perean ministry. So, but listen to what this blind man says. All he hears is Jesus of Nazareth is passing by in 38. And so Bartimaeus, the blind man, cries out saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. So here, a blind man could see and knew that Jesus was the Messiah. How shameful it was for these Pharisees, scribes, Sadducees, all these religious leaders, plus they were able also to deceive other people. But here, it wasn't that this blind man could travel around like everyone else was free to do and be around Jesus a whole lot. Now, Jesus had come probably two other times. I don't know where we are in the timeline with his ministry to see if Jesus... Of course, he came to the Passover every time. So in the 3.5 years, I don't know if he came 3 or 4 times. So I don't know if this is the third or the fourth time that he would have passed by Jericho on the way to the Passover to Jerusalem. But anyway, very likely this man had heard Jesus speak before as he was passing through Jericho. So this is not the first probably occurrence. He's been here before. But this time he's aggressive. Maybe the previous time he heard Jesus talk and it wasn't a way that he could get his attention. And maybe he's thought about that a whole year. And so the next time that Jesus of Nazareth comes by, he's going to get his attention. Okay, verse 39. Then those who went before Jesus, went ahead of Jesus, warned Bartimaeus that he should be quiet. But instead, Bartimaeus cried out all the more. And he cried again, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Kaufman said that this was the Pharisees. They did not like anyone hollering out or bringing attention that Jesus was the Messiah. And of course, Son of David is a synonym for the Messiah. And they didn't want any part of that. And this came to my mind. Just last week, I was watching on the internet. There was a guy, he's an American, and he went over to Israel. Now, he's kind of confused and all, but anyway, he videoed himself right in the middle of Israel, and it was in the middle of the marketplace section, but the people lived in apartments all around. So this was heavily populated area, and people were just streetwalkers. There were no vehicles. Everybody walked everywhere here, and he was like at the town square, and... He started hollering out all these things about, "You've rejected Jesus as the Messiah, and you didn't listen to the prophets Isaiah, Joel, and Amos, and you killed the Messiah just like you killed all of the other prophets." So here he was. He was doing all of this. He sounded really, he comes across as a madman and mental problems the way he was doing. And most people, they were just all passing by and they look at him and stuff. Well, there was one man, and these are all Jews, of course. This is right in the middle of Israel is what the man said where he was. There was a man that was watching him to the side. And he had some kind of a hat deal on that had tassels coming down. And he let the guy go on for, I don't know, several minutes, 5 minutes or something, just rambling about all this, hollering out. And he came over to the man and he said, "What you're doing is illegal." And then the American said, "Well, not according to God's law." He said, "I'm telling you, it's illegal here in Jerusalem for you to do this. And we have a law against this. You cannot be evangelizing or saying anything about Jesus or anything out in public." And the man told him, "If you don't stop right now hollering out, I'm going to give you two choices. There's two choices here. Number one, I'm going to take care of you. And you do not want that option because we're going to go in the back alley over here and it will not be good for you." That's what he told him. And he said, "The second option is I will call the police." He said, "Those are the two options if you don't be quiet right now." And the man said, "Okay, I'm leaving." And he left. And then he went around the block or something. He started hollering out again. Anyway, so this is what came to my mind. Here 2,000 years ago, these Pharisees were trying to shut up anybody who said anything hollering out publicly, out in public, about Jesus being the Messiah. And today they passed a law against it in Jerusalem that you cannot be hollering out. Don't say anything about Jesus being the Messiah and not critical of anything. Now, also, this same man, American, ran into a Jewish rabbi, and the Jewish rabbi told him also, what you were doing is illegal. He said, why they passed this law is, there were too many Christian missionaries, is what how he said it. The too many Christian missionaries coming over here and converting our people to Christianity. And so he said, we're low enough as it is, and we've lost so many people to Christianity and out of Judaism, and so we had to pass a law to stop this evangelism. And so that was, I did not know that. So I correlated that with this. Here these Pharisees were trying to shut him up then, and now they passed a law to shut people up today. Okay, verse 40. So Jesus stood still. So he stopped walking and commanded Bartimaeus to be brought to him. And when Bartimaeus had come near Jesus, Jesus asked him, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. So, here this is. This is before the Sabbath, because he spends the Jesus spends the Sabbath in in Bethany, where Lazarus and Mary and Martha live. He spends the Sabbath with them, and then on the Sunday, which is covered in Luke 19 here toward the end, that's when he makes his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So this is right before this. So very likely this might be on Thursday. This might be exactly 1 week before his crucifixion when this happens. Thursday or Friday is when this is, I'm assuming, since he's so close, just 17 miles away. But a day or two away from the Sabbath, which of course he didn't travel then. But so on Friday sometime, he made it to Bethany to stay the night with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. But here this man, and I'm assuming, we never hear any more about this man or Bartimaeus. But since he is named by Matthew and Mark, and he follows Jesus here, he already knew before Jesus even showed up that Jesus was the Messiah just by hearing it's Jesus of Nazareth. He knew, oh, this is the Messiah right here. And then he healed him. I am assuming, I would be very much shocked if on the day of Pentecost he was not one of these 3,000 that was baptized and entered into God's kingdom. So that, and I by us having his name, I think that puts more credence that they knew him in the subsequent decades. Otherwise, there would be no reason for, nobody would even know anything about him. So I think the Christians in the first century when Matthew and Mark were written, they knew about Bartimaeus and, oh, he was blind and he was the one the Messiah healed and gave his sight back to. And so anyway, any questions or comments on this? Okay, we will end there and we'll pick up with verse 31 through 34 after we sing.